We are nothing if not unprofessional. That would explain why that wasn't working when I had it plugged into there. Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Armchair Producers, episode 17. I am one of your hosts, George Terran, alongside the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Travis Croft. How are you doing today, sir?
I am fine and dandy.
Fine and dandy.
Still recovering from our last Armchair Flops episode, which the lucky Patreon subscribers will be getting access to early.
Yeah, that will be one more week. And then all of those were...
For all the Terry Gilliam goodness we enjoyed on Friday night. If only you were on board Patreon, you could enjoy it too.
Just for $5 at the moment. That's all it takes to get access to everything 1 week early, as well as the Patreon exclusive.
$5 subscribers, and that pays for our weekly six pack that we have to drink through to be able to watch this shit and talk about it.
It is true, ladies and gentlemen. We are fueled by the booze.
Otherwise, we can't be in the same room together.
It's true that we actually have a court order that alcohol has to be involved. Now, for those who might not know, you can join our conversation by going to facebook.com/groups/FryBrainProductions. You can follow us on Twitter at TheFryBrain or at EvilTrav. You can even, like we said before, go to patreon.com/FryBrainProductions and give us some of your hard-earned money if you think that we are worthy of it, or if you want to gift it to someone else as torture. We offer that service too.
I'm not opposed. I'm quite happy either way. I think I tweeted our mate Kirk Cameron last week. Still waiting for a response. He's a busy guy.
I mean, the Lord works in mysterious ways. As I've just been randomly tweeting random Donald Trumps as well. Not necessarily
the real one. No, he could nuke us.
I think that it's not entirely fair, because there are plenty of other real Donald Trumps out there. I think that he's being incredibly selfish. Who'd have thought that of the 45th president?
I mean, I asked Kirk Cameron just recently about his thoughts on the Black Panther, and I'm sure I'll get a well-considered tweet or email.
So you should forward the Christians Against Black Panther Facebook group to him and see if he actually chimes in, because, people need to congregate.
They've been very quiet ever since it opened to $200 million or whatever in the US.
I think it's now cruising past $700 million worldwide, which is pretty crazy. I think the only two movies that are still ahead of it, kind of release to date kind of thing, are Jurassic World and The Force Awakens, if memory serves.
And so I think you can safely say this one's going past the bill.
Yeah, I reckon so.
But yeah, well, there goes that prediction yet again.
Yep.
Yeah, going well. What have you been watching this week?
Well, I decided to indulge myself quite a bit in Netflix exclusive movies. I watched the live action version of Full Metal Alchemist.
So this is based on a manga?
Based on a manga and animated series. And the animated series got released as Full Metal Alchemist. And then they re-released it as Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, because the original differed quite drastically from the manga stuff. And the Brotherhood is the one that you want to watch if you want to watch the more coherent story and overall better quality anime. The Full Metal Alchemist live-action movie is a bizarre creature, because if you have indulged in anime adaptations to live-action, most of the time, it generally airs on the side of video game movie adaptations to movies. Not good. This one, visually, it has quite a good style. The person who directed it, whose name eludes me right now, I believe that he has done a lot of special effects work. I think he's actually worked on, Avatar, the Cameron Avatar. And there's a few ones that kind of stood out. It was like, oh, okay, that explains why the CGI is good.
So Fumihoki Sori?
That's the one.
He worked on Titanic.
That's it, there we go. So he has got quite a heritage. I think he's fairly new into directing. I think he's done more of the like visual production side of stuff. And it shows in this. It's got a very different look, the way that the alchemy is represented in the world. It's different to how it is in the anime and the manga, and I miss that. It's bizarrely too realistic for the world. What is nice about it is a very bright, colorful world, but they take a lot of liberties with the story, and they tweak it in such unusual ways that, as someone who has watched the two different types of anime, it's sort of like, that's not how they do that. That doesn't quite work. Oh, that's not as good as in the manga, in the anime. And it's a shame. So anyone who is morbidly curious or has a spare hour and a half or 2 hours, maybe.
2 hours, 15 minutes.
Holy shit. Right, it goes by fairly quickly then. I think you're probably going to have a better time with it if you don't have reference to the source material. Not really worth it otherwise, I think.
That's unfortunate.
Which is a shame.
I guess it's a much beloved franchise. Would that be a fair way to put it?
That would definitely be a fair way to put it. This is one of the breakout animes to really take the world on tour. You've got sort of like obviously the staples like the Dragon Ball saga, and you've got things like Cowboy Bebop and Naruto. This was one of those high benchmarks as well. The other movie that I'm watching is the new film by Duncan Jones, yet another Netflix exclusive movie, Mute. Now, this is Alexander Skarsgård, Paul Rudd, Justin Theroux, in a sci-fi movie centered around a young man, Alexander Skarsgård, who cannot speak. And it's essentially a mystery movie with the sheen of a sci-fi thriller. Have you watched it?
No, I haven't got it. I didn't even know
Have
it was going...
Have you seen the trailer?
I saw the trailer. I honestly didn't know this was going exclusively to Netflix. But now I look at it on IMDb, it does not look encouraging.
It is being panned.
35 Metascore, 5.4.
That is unfairly harsh. That being said, it is not a particularly good movie. This was supposed to be Duncan Jones' first movie before he ended up doing Moon, which he wrote explicitly for Sam Rockwell to fantastic results. This feels like an early Duncan Jones movie. There's not quite as much quality there. It feels almost student-y. The character of Alexander Skarsgård's Mute is very unfulfilling in many ways. There's no real kind of story arc to him. He pretty much is entirely formed as much as they're going to form him from the outset. Paul Rudd's character is interesting, but kind of one note, and it doesn't entirely make sense. Justin Theroux's character is arguably the most interesting one. He's played with real zest and panache by Justin Theroux, and the depths that they have in this character and how his character's arc progresses is actually interesting. The visual effects pretty good. There's a piss poor chase sequence through the city where he's following a hovercars kind of elements of Altered Carbon or Blade Runner kind of quite prominently on display in this movie, but the CGI for that particular thing looked bad. So it's a real shame because that's kind of two unfortunate duds for Duncan Jones in a row after Warcraft. But that being said, they're not entire failures or failings. And there's still talent on display, both in front of and behind the camera and in production.
Is he a one-trick pony?
I don't think he is, because there was a different kind of storytelling on display in Source Code. It still wasn't as good as Moon. I think he's kind of a victim of his own success with how good Moon was and how good it's standing the test of time. Obviously, having someone as talented as Sam Rockwell in your first movie is definitely gonna set the bar high, and I don't think that he's had the stars align quite in the same way, which is a shame.
I mean, it's a great debut, and some might say very few directors kick off of a film that good. There are some who would argue Quentin Tarantino's never got near Reservoir Dogs again.
True.
But I don't think he's ever quite... So I don't know. I didn't see Warcraft. Some people liked it.
I liked it. But kind of like what happened with it, I would actually kind of put it in a similar boat to John Carter, although John Carter is a much better overall story and it's controlled more. One of the big failings of John Carter was the fact that they tried to tell too much story and too much world building and not actually just get to the meat and potatoes of this is going to be an entertaining action movie. And that's really all it needed to be. And there was enough, they could have just peppered enough through that they could have had more movies going on, but they could have just told a much more coherent, tighter story, and that could be levied against Warcraft.
Yeah, I'll get to. I mean, maybe it's the Warcraft brand counts against it as much as anything else, in the sense that
well, it's what nearly 20 years old now.
If you don't play the game, it's kind of a very geeky thing to be seen to be doing. It's not a cool thing to do to play World of Warcraft.
Well, the idea of the sort of like orcs versus humans, the biggest issue that I think was one of its failings was Duncan Jones decided, you know what, I'm going to make this more of a political movie and you're going to feel empathy for both sides. The problem with that, you need to have some kind of compelling villain driving the story on from one side or the other. Exactly. And there wasn't really that here. There's combat and conflict, but why? And why should I care?
It's super disappointing because I was so on board with Duncan after his first two movies.
Oh, yeah.
I loved Moon. But that said, Moon only got a running here in the Melbourne Film Festival. It did not get a cinematic release in Australia.
Okay.
Or a very, very limited one, if that. The only reason I even heard about this film was playing at the Melbourne Film Festival.
Mm.
And I saw Duncan Jones and they said it was David Bowie's son. And I thought I'd take a shot.
Yeah.
Sci-fi David Bowie's son. Yeah, I'm on board with that.
Hell yeah.
And all of a sudden I'm the biggest Sam Rockwell fan going around after that film. But it's disappointing. I will probably check this out of pure curiosity at some point. But
it's nowhere near as bad as those numbers make out. But it's a far cry from Moon, and it's still quite a stretch from Source Code as well, which is a solid movie. It's just, again,
he didn't write Source Code, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody else did. He was a director for hire on that one.
Yeah, so it's worth the time. It is being unfairly panned, and I think that will go into our topic of discussion in a little bit, and I have thoughts on that. But what about you? What have you seen?
I did go to the movies on Saturday night, and I'd just like to give a shout out to the Epping Reading Cinemas for leaving the air conditioning off for the entire screening of Game Night on Saturday night. It was a warm and humid day, and it was actually hotter in the theatre than it was outside.
Do you think that someone was playing a game with you?
Potentially. It was a fairly unoriginal one, if that. But I'd suggest it's just one of the teenagers forgot to push a button somewhere. Yeah.
Game Night.
Never heard of this movie.
Okay.
Even heard of this movie until I saw the trailer before Black Panther.
Okay.
And I thought the trailer looked okay.
As a concept, it sounds rather fun.
It kind of reminded me of a movie from a few years ago, Steve Carell, and it called Date Night, I think it was. It had him and Tina Fey in it.
Oh, yeah, that was kind of forgettable.
It was forgettable, but, you know, it's Tina Fey doing Tina Fey and Steve Carell doing what he does. And this is Jason Bateman doing what he does.
Yeah.
Which I don't mind. I'm a big fan of Arrested Development, and I kind of like his sort of put upon sort of, you know, style of humor.
Mm.
And then this got very good reviews. Now, compared to Mute, this has a 7.6 on IMDb and has a 66 Metascore.
Wow.
I think it's got even better than that on Rotten Tomatoes. Mm-hmm. Jason Bateman, Rachel McAdams plays his wife Annie, Kyle Chandler, whose name will mean nothing to you.
But no, look up his picture. He was in
Super 8 and Argo. And Manchester by the Sea.
He was in a TV series as well, wasn't he?
I'm sure he was.
Fuck. But yeah, Bloodline? I do remember it. Yes, that's it. And he's apparently really good in that.
He's actually a fine actor. He's one of those guys, though, you go, I've seen you in a lot of stuff, but I don't know what your name is.
Yeah.
you know, and that's probably describes most of the rest of the cast. I don't think you... Jesse Plemons or Meff Damon is the other person one of the other people you recognise. He'll always be Meth Damon to me.
Yeah.
But he was in Black Mirror more recently. for those who listen to our show about that. Michael C. Hall makes a brief appearance.
Okay.
And Danny Houston, who's, again, your name may not mean much to you, but you will recognize his face instantly.
He was...
Striker.
Yes, Striker. And he was also the mistaken Ares in Wonder Woman.
So, again, one of those names, faces, you just go, oh, him.
Yeah.
He plays as a gangster of sorts. That's original. Jason Bateman and his wife, Rachel McAdams, a very competitive couple. They love having game nights with their friends, sort of upset. The balance is upset a little bit when he's been Jason Bateman's older, more successful brother, Kyle Chandler, playing Brooks, turns up in town and kind of raises the bar on game night.
Okay.
He tries to organize a murder mystery style game night at his house. Only to find that he is in fact kidnapped by actual criminals on the same night as the murder mystery games night is supposed to take place. If you've seen the trailer, that's actually the funniest part of the film, is him getting the shit kicked out of him by actual kidnappers, while Jason Bateman and the rest of the guys are eating cheese and just thinking the whole thing's a put on.
So that's the part of the trailer that got me intrigued by this, because... As a concept, that's really cool. Just the mistaken identity is the man who knew too much.
Little,
It's a classic trope that hasn't really been done too much, certainly recently. So it sounds like they dropped the ball after that.
For me, regularly, completely and consistently, I found myself not laughing at all. Which in a comedy is, I think, a
sacrilege.
I mean, like, I get it. Comedy's hard. It's a very broad comedy, and I'm very fussy with comedy. I'll pay that.
Mm-hmm.
But it did nothing for me. There were very, very few jokes that were funny.
Okay.
This movie, for me, I think David Fincher's The Game.
Right.
Meets Horrible Bosses.
Oh. Okay.
That's the kind of style of humor.
Yeah.
Mixed with that kind of plot line. Remember the plot line from that movie was Sean Penn organizes this like virtual reality game, or like alternate reality game or
that's
something like
right.
where
yeah.
people are playing criminals and they kidnap Michael Douglas and stuff.
Yeah.
It's not probably one of Fincher's best remembered films, but it's better than this shit.
Yeah.
So look, you know, there's the subplots and they all get split up to go off and, you know, work on their games, their supposed murder mystery night, and separately they all come to the same conclusion. This is real. And then they have to, you know, try and, they have to try and rescue Brooks and do all sorts of, then it gets a little bit unrealistic where they like raid a gangster's house and steal a Fabergé egg to, spoilers, sorry guys, trust me, I'm doing you a favour. And to try and, you know, save him and stuff happens. And then it's like, it's this bizarre sort of double ending with, you know, think, oh, it's over. No, it's not over. Oh, okay. Is it over?
Okay. Anytime that anyone talks about Fabergé eggs, I just have Bleeding Gums Murphy crashed out in the alley eating Fabergé eggs.
I don't know. Like I said, it's getting good reviews. I seen some other people talk about it and say how much they laughed through it, and I'm like, did I fall asleep during the jokes?
Do you find, is there something about it in particular that just didn't ring with you? Like, were the actors generally not invested? Was it
Jason Bateman was Jason Bateman. He does the same character.
He's only ever Jason Bateman.
He's the same character. Rachel McAdams is solid. She does... what she does in comedy. I'm not a huge fan of hers.
Yeah.
Did she win an Oscar for something? Wasn't she
maybe?
In that boxing movie?
Southpaw?
Oscar nominated, if she was. Sorry, she also nominated for Spotlight. My bad. I'm thinking of a boxing movie with Christian Bale in it.
The Fighter?
That's it.
Yeah.
That was somebody else, obviously.
Yeah.
But Rachel McAdams, you know, they work okay together. You know... So, yeah, there's nothing necessarily wrong with the characters in the setup, but kind of look at it and you go, okay, that could work. There's a funny subplot between the African-American couple, who one of whom admits infidelity on a night, or not infidelity, that she slept with a celebrity when they were split up and they were younger.
Okay.
And that turns out that the celebrity she thought she slept with, it actually wasn't really them. and it was actually somebody who just looked a bit like them. And, you know, and like, that's kind of all funny material. There's stuff there, and it just... I'm going to put a caveat next to this and go, I was really uncomfortable all the way through the movie because it was fucking hot.
Okay.
I was sweating my ass off in that theater.
Not physically in the ideal position.
It's a bit like when we saw Deadpool and there were people talking behind us. You know, and who couldn't understand the fucking plot.
Yeah.
Maybe that's clouded my judgment. I just wasn't getting the humor.
It's not your sort of thing, I guess.
There was a lot of pop culture references, but I don't know. It was almost like we were supposed to laugh. Fight Club. I remember Fight Club. Remember Fight Club?
Yeah, remember.
That's pretty much it. That was pretty much the gag. It's something blah, 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 blah. Pop culture reference.
So it sounds like a poorly written Family Guy episode.
Yeah. You think that's bad? Remember a time when I went on a date in Mexico with Gary Coleman? I don't know, like, it probably not quite that blatant, but it was a little, they were there a lot, and it didn't work for me, and they were a little dated, and they weren't particularly clever, you know, I don't know, I just didn't laugh. It wasn't as bad as, say, Ghostbusters, which then took a giant shit on a much-beloved franchise, and, you know, had such, well, I mean, I don't know, the first one was, it's a masterpiece, but,
I have met someone who has not watched Ghostbusters. And she said, oh, I've watched the sequel. I'm like, okay, so you've watched the one with the Statue of Liberty. I'm like, no, the one from the other year. Someone who hasn't watched either of the Ghostbusters. This is the same person who has not watched any Harry Potter movies and has also, what was the other one that she hadn't seen? Any Blade Runner.
Well, Blade Runner's easy enough to miss, but I will tell you...
Ghostbusters, she's the same age as me!
I will see your Ghostbusters... And I will raise you.
Mm.
One of my new employees this week. As we didn't know much about her, and on her profile we created for her, we thought as a joke we put in a couple of fake facts.
Okay.
Including that her uncle was Bono.
Did she say who's Bono?
She said who's Bono.
Okay.
Then we said he's a singer in U2, and she said who's U2.
Wow.
Never heard of Bono. Never heard of U2. Fuck me, am I getting that old now? Seriously, do the kids not know who you two are now?
Well, Shay had a student who asked, who's David Bowie?
Yeah, I can kind of see that though. Like, I mean, what has David Bowie done in the public eye in the last 20 years?
Being fabulous,
but he's only been famous.
And he died.
He's been famous for being famous.
Yeah.
True. Don't get me wrong, I'm a huge Bowie. I mean, you don't find too many bigger fans of me, but he had a hit. Has he been in a big movie? Why would anybody who's under the age of 30 really, honestly, know who he was, apart from being that guy who sings Let's Dance, maybe, if their dad forced them to listen to Gold FM? But I don't know. I feel like Bono is kind of more famous than David Bowie. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, he did the themes where he helped write the theme song for Goldeneye, but he didn't perform it. I guess because he and U2 were a fucking virus on Apple phones.
That
no matter how many fucking times I deleted it, it would just always be fucking there.
And it was a horrible album too.
I contacted Apple about that once, and I said, look, is there any way I can get Apple off? And he just went, yeah, do you have any idea how many people I've had phone up about that? I was like, lots. He said, yep, you got an answer? Nope. But anyway...
What can you do? But anyway, so on to game night, I guess. So, yeah. Look, I mean, people, if you're going to the movies... It is directed by John Francis Daly and Jonathan Goldstein.
Okay.
Neither of whom... John Francis Daly would be best known for Bones, Vacation. Vacation had one of the guys from the Hangover in it.
Oh, Ed Helms, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Jonathan Goldstein, best known for... He wrote Spider-Man Homecoming, he wrote Horrible Bosses, and he wrote Vocation.
Okay.
It doesn't look like either of them have a great background in directing. This film is... Interestingly, I just... You know how you go down a rabbit hole on IMDb?
Yeah.
It was written by a guy named Mark Perez. He's best known for writing Accepted in 2006.
Okay.
And Herbie Fully Loaded in 2005.
Oh...
He hasn't actually had a feature film produced since since Accepted in 2006. Okay. So 12 years between drinks. He had to have a TV movie in the middle of that, but not a feature.
Okay.
And so a lot of people are like, oh, it's one of the tightest comedy scripts to be made in years. And I'm like,
Well, he took 12 years to write it.
You guys are much easier to please than I am. I was seriously sitting there going, should I leave? And half of that may have been because it was a hot room. But yeah, take it from me. If you like anything a little challenging, or if you like horrible bosses, you'll probably love it.
How many movies have you exited early from in the cinema?
Does the driving count?
Yes.
Last year, I left Atomic Blonde early.
Okay. I remember you telling me about that.
I was that bored.
Yeah.
I walked out of A Lost Highway.
Wait, you don't know, because no one knows how that movie ends.
And I think I've done a couple of films at the Melbourne Film Festival, but they don't really... Only one, I think, I actually left because I was genuinely fucking over it. And that was a film called Japanese Red Army.
Okay.
And I'm not even going to attempt to try and explain what it was about, because I have absolutely no idea.
Fair enough.
But I think when you're going to film festivals, you are kind of rolling the dice a little bit.
You're really rolling the dice, because you're going to get a very unusual quality... Excellent one moment, terrible the next, or vice versa. When you go to the movie festival, you generally tend to go for more of the documentary as well.
That's more my style. Yeah. But occasionally, if there's a feature that sounds interesting,
yeah,
I'll check it out. But it's not a common thing to me. I feel like I fucking paid for it.
I have only ever walked out of one movie, and that was Chicago. That offended me, that movie.
You know, it's not the worst film I've ever seen.
No.
As musicals go.
Nope. And it's got Renee Zellweger in it. And Catherine Zeta-Jones.
She can really move. For someone who was pregnant when they filmed it.
And John C. Reilly.
Is he?
Yeah, he played Renee Zellweger's husband.
Right,
yeah,
that's right.
Richard Gere, the motherfucker. I have an unnecessary hatred towards Richard Gere.
Well, he's the whole reason I've started learning how to cook vegan food. I don't want to eat it. It's just in case Richard Gere ever drops around for dinner.
Ah, fair enough.
You know what it's like when a celebrity Buddhist vegan drops in for dinner, and you're like, what am I going to make him?
Well, you just give him a glass of water. If he says, I'm hungry, you freeze it.
Touché.
Now, should we talk a little bit about Netflix?
Let's. I saw this come up on a YouTube video, and I'm sorry, I can't remember the exact name of the show, but it's the guy who does the Mr. Plinkett videos. If you haven't seen Red Letter Media, the Mr. Plinkett Star Wars reviews.
Nope.
Oh, if we haven't watched them, it's remiss. Shame on me.
Mr. Plinkett.
It's not the name of a show. I can't think of the actual. The guy who does it, he has a character called Mr. Plinkett, and he did a series of, an 8-hour review of Star Wars, The Phantom Menace, Jesus and it's Christ. So fucking good.
Okay.
But he does a show now, and I can't recall what it's called, but he sort of made that, it was talking about the new Cloverfield film we discussed a few weeks ago.
Yeah, The Paradox.
And they put me into something that really sort of rang true to me.
Mm.
This kind of thing is, Netflix has become what direct-to-video was in the 90s.
Yes.
So, I don't think I can sell this movie in theaters.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to sell it to Netflix for whatever they'll sell, give me for.
Mm-hmm.
And Netflix, in their infinite genius, used the Cloverfield brand name along with Super Bowl and apparently got several million views in its first week.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure they got their money's worth it. Whatever measure that Netflix used to figure out what
which they will never reveal.
To I'm the sure public. Whatever measure they used, I'm sure they were quite happy with their
purchase.
We got
37 people.
That was just watching A Christmas Prince
on repeat.
If I owned a bar, I think I would just
Christmas Prince
on repeat. That's
but it's June. Fuck off.
It's always Christmas somewhere.
Hey, it's Christmas in Seoul, man.
Yeah, and that we're going to be thinking is like, not just the Cloverfield thing, but more and more you flip on YouTube. Think back to 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the transformation's remarkable. Like, the majority of shit on here now seems to have the Netflix brand on it at some point.
Yep.
And I would guess 80% of stuff that's on my screen now has in one way or another, either been made exclusively for Netflix, or Netflix has purchased the exclusive rights to show it in Australia.
Yeah, I think that's right.
And I feel like a few years ago, that was a real brand of quality. I think we actually probably talked about it at one point. Oh, yeah.
I mean, the height of House of Cards.
And Orange is the New Black, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It was like, ooh, you know, and they introduced the concept. They've been watching the whole series from day one. Mm-hmm. But now, I guess it's hard to keep up that level.
Mm.
But by lending their brand out now to be the dumping ground for shit that the studios don't think they're going to make their money back on, be it Newt, be it the Cloverfield Paradox, or I think we talked a little earlier before we went on air, but the new Alex Garland film, for some bizarre reason, is coming straight to Netflix in Australia. Mm-hmm. For everywhere outside, I think Japan and the United States, is going straight to Netflix. And like, instantly now, your first thought is, oh, what's wrong with it?
See, I think that there's an intelligence behind why they're doing it. They are, so far, the only movie that has actually been funded by Netflix has been Bright.
Not necessarily. You're forgetting about the Adam Sandler films, yeah? He makes his films exclusively for Netflix now.
Don't say his name again.
Was it the Hateful Eight or Hateful Eight ripoff? What was it called? Ridiculous Six.
The Ridiculous Six. There was the story of Sandy Wexler and the Do-Over. And they seem to have that Kevin James deal thing going on, the International Man of Mystery or whatever. I don't know, fucking asshole that he is. I don't think they are solely funded by Netflix, because I think that Happy Madison is the production company behind that, whereas with Bright, Netflix is the sole production house on it. I think I think those ones are co-financed.
You're technically correct. The best kind of correct.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. So, what they're doing is they are getting people like Duncan Jones, Alex Garland, even, you know, I'm not a big fan of him, David Ayer, who did Bright, getting them under their brand. And they're kind of saying, all right, with that movie, yeah, it didn't get the critical response that we wanted for our movies. The TV stuff that we're doing is covering that for us. They're slowly going to build a brand for movies, because they are so, in this Hollywood world, they are champing at the bit to get a proper production studio, which is why there's so many rumors that they're going to buy Paramount. And as soon as they do that, you are probably going to see quite a spike in the quality of the movies that are coming out of there. But they are probably creating these, buying up these movies relatively cheap with tie-in contracts, much like Disney do with all of the guys who come into Star Wars and Marvel, where they're saying, okay, we will get you in, and you're going to do multiple movies for us. Doesn't necessarily mean that they can't go off and make movies for Warner Brothers or Disney or any of the other stadiums, but they probably have a first look deal. They probably have some kind of thing where, you are going to have to, within the next 10 years, make us another movie or another two movies or something like that. And that gives the directors an air of safety. They've guaranteed work, as well as they've bought into younger brand directors that are up and coming, that they've had some form of success previously, but not huge success. They're still able to buy that potential future-proofing fairly cheap right now.
But are they doing damage to their brand that's going to be very expensive and time-consuming to replace?
I don't think so, because not only are they losing all the contracts that they had previously for so many movies, especially with Disney still going to be coming out, they need to be able to basically fill those movie gaps with content. Doesn't necessarily need to be the best in the world. C-grade movies, they're fine with. Mm-hmm. And the way that they're dropping them, everyone talks about them, those movies, for, you know, 72 plus hours on the social media channels, and it just constantly drives people going through it. And even the bad stuff is like, oh, it's on Netflix. Well, it's going to be on there forever because Netflix bought it. They own it. It's not going to be cycled off anytime soon. So eventually someone's going to go, you know what? Fuck it. I'll give Mute a try. I'll give Bright a go. They'll get... Everyone who has signed up to Netflix will eventually get round to watching it some way or another.
That's, I get that point. It's like it's you can amortize the cost of his film over 5 years. Longer. Yeah. Mm. As long as the life of it, you decide to... As long as the streaming service lasts forever, really.
Yeah.
And that's an interesting business model that Netflix can run. Mm-hmm. But does that, where does it put them against their rare rivals? So Amazon are becoming, Amazon Studios, Manchester by the Sea.
Mm-hmm.
Amazon Studios now, I think probably, if you were to do some sort of survey, and obviously I haven't, maybe Amazon Studios and Amazon, their web streaming, what's their streaming service called again?
Just Amazon
Streaming, is, would that be considered, the stuff that's created exclusively for them, be considered of a higher standard?
They have the more critical reception for their movies, for sure, because I think a couple of their features have Oscar nominations, like The Big Sick. I think that was an Amazon one, and I think there might be one this year that's technically Amazon Studios. But Netflix are resting on the laurels of their TV shows. They have got... They're still in the early days of Stranger Things. They are... They've got certain level of success with Altered Carbon, not to the height that I'm sure they really wanted. They're...
I tried watching an episode 10 minutes in. No, it was done.
It's fine. They are...
Is it producing... get better, though?
It does get better, I think. Yeah. And I think that... The big failing of season one of Altered Carbon is it should have just been like 8 episodes instead of the 10 or 12, I think, that it actually ended up being. And they should have just spent a little bit more time just building the world and get to the, you know, solve the murder mystery quicker. And then the next season, maybe they go, okay, right, we'll do 10 episodes, we'll do 12 episodes. Because the world and the technology and everything and the ethos of the world is fascinating. And there's so much potential to go into there. They've got the Witcher TV series that they're producing and they're going to be bringing out. And that has the potential to be the new Game of Thrones, out Game of Thrones in Game of Thrones. Because it's based on a successful prior property that has been both books and very successful computer game series. And... people are already hungry for what's next after this final season of Game of Thrones. I know that you're not a fan of Game of Thrones.
But don't get me wrong. I understand
the zeitgeist.
I can understand the hunger out there. Like, yeah. I'm already seeing posters out there with a new release date for next year on it. I'm like,
yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen that before for a TV show.
Mm-mm. Yeah. And just then,
because I'm not one to watch it doesn't mean I don't appreciate that there are a lot of people out there hankering for it.
Yeah. They are desperately looking for their Game of Thrones, desperately looking for their Westworld, desperately looking for something to replace their flagship, which has so badly been tainted of House of Cards.
They're still going to try and make it with Robin Wright Penn, aren't they?
They're doing just one season and that's it. They're finishing filming, re-editing a lot of it, focusing entirely on Robin Wright Penn, basically cutting out Kevin Spacey from the sounds of it. And it's probably going to end up being a short season just to finish it off. So fans have a ending.
And look, it'll jump the shark anyway.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's much like it seems like The Walking Dead has been. It's in decline the last few seasons. It's time for it to die.
It's a shame, but new series, wonderful TV shows come to their end. But I'm not sure I'm quite so honest. I can see what you're saying.
Mm.
And I guess time will be time will tell. Time will be the...
No, I need an answer right now.
I'm sorry. Let's go in time in 10 years into the future and we'll figure it out.
Yes.
I don't know. I feel like they are doing damage to their brand
mm-hmm.
by releasing a lot of bad stuff. Does it hurt their brand enough that people would cancel their memberships or switch their memberships to another service? In Australia, there really isn't a lot of choice in the matter. You've got Netflix or you've got Stan. You can try and geo-dodge your way into Hulu or Amazon, which is really hard.
Yeah.
And I'm halfway to switching off my Stan membership because there's nothing on there I really want to watch.
Yeah.
So
that's the other thing is people will get that free membership to I've heard everyone talking about this or this is coming out. I'll get that free trial, and that's how they get you because you forget to opt out. and you suddenly look at it, or you sort of like watch the, you watch Cloverfield Paradox, and you're like, well, that's shit. I'm going to not finish watching that. Let's see what else they've got in there. And then suddenly you go, oh, all right, they've got a lot of different things in there. And their TV is covering them. Netflix as a movie platform for streaming, nah, it's kind of flatlining. But as a platform for streaming, just period, I think it's still healthy.
I'm sure it's still, and it's still the gold standard.
Oh, yeah.
That said,
it's still the reigning.
Let me not forget that, let us not forget that once upon a time, Netscape was the gold standard in internet browsers.
So was AOL.
AOL was the gold standard in online servers. What have you ever, a fucking giant in online services? And Blockbuster were a huge company. It didn't take much for Netflix to take the knockdown off. I don't think they're in anywhere near mortal danger.
No, I just feel like
they need to be careful. But they, like I said, if they become seen as, and it's becoming that, like I said, they direct to video is Netflix, and you know, that's not, I think, a space they really want to be seen to be in. So if either their stuff needs to get better, or their stuff they're releasing needs to be,
I think that they're just in that awkward time of, they are clamoring for content because people are just binge watching, which is one of the reasons why so many of their shows are starting to go, oh, we're going to do this weekly now, so that they've got this fresh input of content, because they can't buffer it up with, oh yeah, we've got all of the MCU movies on here. No, you don't. You have them for like a month and a bit, and then they cycle out. And
you know what? They have, oh, we have all the Pixar movies.
No,
except
you don't.
The one you actually want to watch.
Exactly.
I'm like, I want to watch Wall-E. Oh, sorry, we don't have that one.
We've got the third-rate alternative version of that,
which
includes a used condom walking around.
Yeah, worker and parasite.
It's called Pissy.
Yes. No, I didn't quite enjoy it on the same level. I felt the substituting.
The voice of Adam Sandler for Wall-E was just terrible.
And the substituting out of the Here's Dolly or whatever it was, musical scenes in for Debbie Does Dallas was just tasteless.
I think we are in the, well, one of my predictions for this year is that Netflix will buy Paramount. I think that is still going to happen. I'm standing by that prediction. And I think that 3 years from now, we'll be having a different conversation. I don't think it'll be truly successful in the way that I don't think that they're going to... It's going to be a long time before they get an Oscar-nominated movie.
I just feel like the Academy will resist that.
Probably, because it is so protective of the Hollywood brand. Mm. And Netflix is bucking this trend. But anyway... do you want to have a quick break?
I can keep powering.
We can
keep
okay. Let's keep powering on. You've got your little music taste test for me. Am I right?
I am. Okay. But, I'm just going to grab the speaker.
Ah, yes. Okay. I shall fill some air. So I'm going to tell all of you fine folk about my forthcoming Kickstarter campaign. That's right. You've heard about it before, but why not once more? Vaughn, my first stuck on that for some reason. Debut novel, it is coming on. I have got the first 5 chapters completely complete, post-professional edit now. It is happening, estimated to be going live at the end of April, I think it is, or it might be the end of March. One of those two, I will let you all know. You can follow me on patreon.com/frybrandproductions if you want to chuck me a dollar to help me pay off the bills while I write things that are actually infinitely more useful than this advert. On a little side note, actually, one of the pledge levels on Kickstarter will be personally written foreword up to 5, 10, 15, or 20 pages. I am probably going to be doing, I haven't decided entirely, I need to check the costs of it and the production, but I'm probably going to be doing an audiobook version of Vaughn, and I would like to get some feedback. Twitter, @thefriedbrain, would you be interested in a limited availability, up to 10 minutes, audio improv forward, where you get to give me, up to 10 minutes, 5 to 10 points or words that I have to incorporate into a fully improvised foreword for you. It'll be limited. It will be a little bit pricey, but this is your chance to try and fuck me over and see how good my improv is. This advert is entirely improv. I promise that it will be better than this. Anyway, back to the show. Remember, at the Fried Brain on Twitter. Thank you.
Okay, so we're going... A few weeks ago, we talked about a blind soundtrack taste test.
Mm-hmm.
You felt you could discern a Marvel... No, we were sort of, I guess, arguing that one Marvel soundtrack is the same as another Marvel soundtrack.
Yes, and can I tell the difference?
So we're going to play a little bit of some.
Mm-hmm.
And George is going to try and tell us which Marvel film this is from.
And I cannot see his screen.
I can't see. I have to... We'll dodge the freaking stupid ad.
We don't want to get copywritten. That would mean that someone else is listening.
So this is a film. This is from a soundtrack. I'm not sure if it's the actual score. Let's try one that's from the actual
that's
score.
That's not the actual score, yeah.
Let's try this one.
I got something to tell you. Oh, this is Black Panther. I don't know how to explain it. Wait, what? But I'm different.
It's not.
Okay, when I said soundtracks, I meant the composed soundtracks.
Let's try the score. Here we go. Try this one.
There we go. Let's go. Score. What was that from?
This is all from the same movie.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. All right. Okay. Is this... First question, is this a movie that involves Captain America directly?
No.
Oh. Well, in that case, this is Guardians of the Galaxy 1.
No. Would you like one more guess?
Oh, shit. Okay.
I am being a bit sneaky here.
Okay.
Would you like another track?
No, tell me what this is. I don't know what this one is. Oh, you fucker! That's not part of the MCU! That's fucking Blade!
This is a Marvel film!
Fuck you! You fucker.
Well, I mean, you know, the rules here weren't that, you know...
MCU!
Okay, let's see what this is. This is an ad. In your antihistamine.
Blah, 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 blah.
We like enjoying antihistamines, but here we go.
Thor.
More information, please.
This is... Ooh. Okay. Okay, I'm gonna roll the dice. This is Thor 1. And it's... Oh, wait, no, it's not. This is Thor Dark World.
Correct.
Yeah. I thought it might have been possibly towards the end of Thor, where he kind of accepts that he's willing to die to save everyone on Earth, but no.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, this is Iron Man.
Very good.
Yeah.
And you thought they weren't discernible. Let's go.
That was Iron Man 1, right?
That was correct. Okay. I'll pay that.
Yeah. Roman Duali, I can never say his name, I apologize. He has quite a unique kind of rocky kind of bass to him. Alright, okay.
Sorry, I'm just trying to get the typing to actually work for me.
How dare you. Ladies and gentlemen, we are a polished podcast here. Send all complaints.
No, I'm not playing your stupid freaking ad. There we go. I'm not going to play that ad, apparently. Sorry. I mean, who pays to go to a travel agent these days?
Unbelievable. Age of Ultron?
It is Age of Ultron.
Okay. All right. Okay, I'm doing well.
doing well here.
Doing well. All right.
So that's actually, I guess, a 3 for 3.
Yeah.
Not including Blade, which was a little bit of a cheat.
That's not part of the MCU. It would be kind of cool if they retconned that in somehow, and they kind of could. Is this another sneaky one?
This is part of the MCU, okay. Without a doubt.
Okay. Alright, the Incredible Hulk?
Very good! Yeah. 4 for 4?
Yeah.
Shall we go for 5 for 5?
Okay, alright, this will be the last one?
Last one, 5 for 5.
Avengers. Oh, no, wait.
Give us some time.
Yeah, okay.
He's not the Avengers, by the way, people. I'm going to pay that one straight off the bat.
No. Oh, God, it is the galaxy.
There you go.
That gave it away.
I think we've conclusively proved something here.
Yeah.
These soundtracks are not as disposable and cut and paste as you might have thought.
Well, I'm gonna see about that because I want to see.
Remember, I do not have the ear for them, but you do. I wouldn't have had a chance in hell at getting any of those.
Okay. Well, let's see if you can get this. This is the theme song for one.
I haven't the faintest idea.
Ant-Man.
There you go. I forgot that was in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
But I don't listen to scores very often.
No, that's fair enough. That's written by Christoph Beck.
Of course it was.
Actually, I haven't listened to this soundtrack. I might have to listen to it on the way home today.
But I think it's a bit myth-busted there.
I guess so. So I stand corrected, Marvel. Congratulations.
Shall we do next week a couple from the DCEU? I'll have much less to choose from, but let's see how you go.
All right, next is going to be DCEU.
So what we got, there's the two Superman films, and then there's four or five?
So there's Man of Steel, Batman v Superman, Justice League, Wonder Woman, Suicide Squad.
Five, yes.
Yeah,
that's five to pick from. So you have a 1 in 5 chance of guessing.
Yeah, and I don't know if there is actually a soundtrack for Suicide Squad that isn't just
the soundtrack
music from it. But I guarantee I'll be able to get Wonder Woman. Guarantee I'll be able to get...
I think so, considering how well you quickly smashed those ones out. I have total confidence.
I'm rather proud of my ear.
I am quite proud. I need to trip you up a little bit with Blade, though.
I haven't watched Blade in fucking years.
This came to mind because, of course, everyone was saying before Black Panther, it's the first black superhero. let's not mention Blade.
And, there was, obviously, Michael B. Jordan. He played a black Human Torch.
Yes, of course. But yes, I'm focusing on one character.
Yeah, well. Anyway, anything else you want to talk about?
I don't think so. I'm just super impressed over here at your taste test. I don't think I could do that well, even with like popular music. So, kudos to you, sir.
Thank you very much. I'd just like
to say kudos to you for your performance at the improv stand-up on Sunday afternoon. For those who are interested in improv comedy, there is an improv jam session, I guess one would call it, in Melbourne. At the Improv Conspiracy.
Yep.
If anyone's interested in coming down and cheering on our brave co-host here.
I am the one and only person who literally threw myself literally across the stage.
I mean, reenacted the scene from Superman trying to fly, but without a blue screen.
Mm-hmm.
Or a green screen for that matter, and face planted very nicely. And I just seen the other improvers on the screen on the stage sort of cringe a little bit at the implied pain of it, because it looked like it hurt.
It stung, but it was fine. I'm used to falling flat on my face. I've decided to enter the world of improv comedy. There's jam sessions every fortnight. There was one last Sunday. There'll be one again in obviously a fortnight's time from then. Just a chance to throw your name in a bucket and have a bit of fun, and it's fucking awesome.
It was actually very, very funny. That said, though, I do feel very nervous for everybody on stage at the time, because, like, obviously no one knows what's coming next. And
that's half the fun.
Sure it is.
I will most certainly be going, because hopefully it'll help improve me as a podcaster, as well as if I am going to do this video. Let's face it,
we need the help.
We do. We really do. So if anyone is interested in supporting us, go to patreon.com/frightbrainproductions. That is your third and final advert for Fright Brain Productions on Patreon.
Other than that, thank you very much for tuning in.
Thank you.
Please
so much.
Engage with us on all the channels that... But George mentioned earlier, on the Twitters, on the Facebooks, on... do we have an Instagram? We should have an Instagram.
We don't have an Instagram, but I am on Instagram if you want to. And I am also one of the first 1 million people to be on a new platform, Vero. But it's...
Will you be doing lewd cosplays on there like everyone else?
Who says I'm not already?
There you go. There you go, people. There's a reason to join.
Or to stay away. Like, who wants to see a bony white guy?
Only white women, who knows?
On that note, good night.
Good night.